Well, good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
These past weeks, we've been talking about some of the bedrock, the foundation stones of Emmanuel, what makes us tick as a church. Of course, we anchor on the foundation stone of Jesus Christ, and from that comes some scriptural truths that become our beliefs, and from those beliefs then come our vision, the vision God has given us, and the mission he has given us. Last week we spoke about the five principles, the five purposes that we feel as a congregation are very important for Emmanuel. From those five purposes, about 10, 11 years ago, we derived some core values. Core values, as opposed to aspirational values, are values that we're willing to die for. These are the things we really believe in. This is what makes us work as a church. And these are what distinguishes us from other churches around us. These values were put into banners that are in the entranceway to the church. Have any of you seen those banners as you walk into the church? Many of us haven't looked up to see them, so these values that we have give rise to the answer to the question, what distinguishes Emmanuel from all the other churches that are around us? I mean, we have so many churches in Clovis and in Fresno. Why do we need Emmanuel Lutheran Church here on this corner just to add to all these other churches? Is there a unique reason why we exist? And truth be told, we have a lot in common with all of the other Christian churches. We're all believing in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All Christian churches believe that we're saved by God's grace. We believe that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Scripture is God's Word. We believe that we need to be prayer-led and Scripture-fed. Many things we have in common. But here's what makes us unique. And I'm going to use the name Emmanuel. And I'm going to take the first letter of Emmanuel as an acrostic. And so I'm going to take the first letter. It'll be the first letter of the word for that value. And so, by the way, I love the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God's with us. Think about that. It's not just Christmas. God has emptied himself from heaven and come to earth because the earth that he made in such harmony, where everything was good, in giving us free will, we destroyed. We wanted to know good and evil instead of relying on God to guide us for what is good. And we destroy everything we touch. Sin has come into the world and death through sin. And then God said, from his eternal purpose, I am going to restore that good. I'm going to restore my image in Adam and Eve and in people to be with me as my image forever and ever. And the way that had to happen was that good had to overcome evil. God had to overcome sin and death. And he did that by becoming one of us, living perfectly under the law, being completely good, perfect, not needing to die, dying on the cross for our sins and rising again. He then made the great transference. He transferred our sin to himself and paid the hell for it and transferred his life to give us eternal life. And so now, as children of God who trust in what Jesus has done in ransoming us from death, we now can call God our Father, and we are restored as children of God. That's a beautiful name, Emmanuel is, and it underscores the vision of our church. So when we come to the first letter in Emmanuel, E, that is the value that's called embracing change. Now, change for change's sake is never any good. A change always creates distrust, it creates chaos, it creates confusion. Nobody likes it. And so there are many things at Emmanuel that never, never, never change. We never change God's word. We never change any of the doctrines. We don't change what we believe about baptism, what we believe about Holy Communion, what we believe our mission is to share Christ with the world. None of this is changed. But when it comes to everything else, in the words of Martin Luther, we can be loose as a goose. Because we need to constantly contextualize the gospel into the world in which we are ministering. And to do that, we need to embrace some things that are new. We need to remove, if I may say so, the stained glass barriers between what's inside this building and what's going on outside these walls. And so 11 years ago, the leaders back then decided we will be very intentional about doing this. For one thing, we will endeavor to worship in a way that is joyful and uplifting. That means we won't have our nose in a heavy hymnal that after 45 minutes you can't even lift anymore. Instead, we will have people lift their faces up when they're singing and make a joyful noise in the Lord, or we will have screens where people can see the words, sing the songs. We will not just employ traditions because they're traditions. We may not wear a robe. We may not have pulpits and lecterns. We may dress casually. We may attempt to make our worship come alive. All the while adhering to the very tenets of what worship needs to be sacramentally and sacrificially, and containing scripture, absolution, confession, creed, Lord's Prayer, Holy Communion, scripture, and all the songs. So you can be casual and still be 100% Orthodox. We must never confuse form with substance. A year ago when COVID struck and churches were frantically trying to figure out how to get online, we had already been online for over a year. Thanks to Jim and others, we had already been live streaming, and so we were able to help other churches get on board and carry on their ministry. At a time when other churches were trying to figure out which hymnal to use, 11 years ago, we had already put up screens which allowed us to, especially those that were new to our church, to worship with ease, without confusion, figuring out where to move the pages in the hymnal, figure out what's what. And so our church has endeavored to be one that would embrace change. Matter of fact, we said we're willing to do anything and everything short of sin to make it easier for people to worship and to bring the gospel into people's lives. This ought to be a place where worship is fun. A meaningful change doesn't scare us. But there's something deeper than all this when it comes to change. And that's what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Here at Emmanuel, what we yearn for in change the most is change of heart. That's why we develop something called new heart. So that hearts can be changed and people can grow and people can mature in God's word. Listen to what it says in Colossians 3:12. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The way we want to be known at Emmanuel is not by the Hawaiian shirt that the pastor wears, but by the manner of dress you have as you put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that's the E in Emmanuel, embracing, change. Now the M in Emmanuel stands for our second value, mindful forgiveness. mindful in that we are mindful that forgiveness is something that first comes from God to us. God has forgiven us. When he says in Matthew 17:4, if someone sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. We're mindful that all forgiveness is a reflection of God's great act of grace, his mercy, in taking away everything we've done wrong, remembering it no more. He loved us when we were unlovable, and he took away our sins forever in Jesus Christ. A lot of churches pride themselves on doing the right thing. Here at Emmanuel, we pride ourselves on doing things right. We want to do what God has called on us to do. A mindful forgiveness is at the top of the list. And so we heed the words in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, just as God forgave you through Christ. So we say a value is something you live out, if it's core. So how do you know if you're living out this value of mindful forgiveness? You ask yourselves two questions. The first question is, do you believe in forgiveness? And you answer, yes. Second question is, are you forgiving to those who are unlovable? If the answer is yes, then you're living out that value. Let me do another one. Do you believe in patiently waiting on God? If the answer is yes, then I ask the question, are you patient? And if the answer is no, then that's not so much so. Here's another one. Do you believe that God will bless you if you tithe? Yeah, it's in Scripture. Do you tithe? No. Then you don't believe it. The truth is, you only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do. They become your core conviction. That's what you value. And that's what we mean by being mindful. If you say, I believe in what the Bible says, but you're never in the Bible, then there's something missing there. It's an aspirational goal, not a core value. We want to act it out as doers of the word. Now we come to the second M in Emmanuel. That stands for our third value, to make connections. This is part of the discipleship process. And the discipleship process moves us from unbeliever to believer, from an immature Christian to a mature Christian, from a spectator to one who's engaged in ministry, to becoming a disciple. And it's all part of a journey. Every one of us are on that journey. And we may be at different places along that continuum of the journey. And I want you to know, God doesn't love you more if you're more mature than if you're an infant Christian. He loves us all the same. But he doesn't want us to stay where we are, and so he moves us and wants us to follow him into more maturity. And so here at Emmanuel, we yearn for people to grow. And so we have places where people can come and gather and fellowship together. And as they come to know a little bit about our church and Jesus, they can join, get involved in an adult information class, a confirmation class. They can attend Sunday school. They can then be baptized. They can become a member of the church. They can learn what their spiritual gifts are. They can learn how to get along with other Christians. They can then learn through relational Bible studies during the week and on Sunday morning how to get further in the Word of God. And then they can learn to become a leader and take on some leadership positions under others, and then eventually become a leader of teams until finally we are in the evangelism process of reaching out to others. We do this with our men's group and our women's group. We do this to our women of grace and our youth and our Sunday school. And there's so many different ways we can do that. New heart. We grab onto the hand of someone who's spiritually more mature. And we grab onto the hand of someone who's less, mature. We're never an island at Emmanuel. We're always hanging on and mentoring and being mentored by someone as we go along. And so our goal is well stated in 2 Corinthians 3:18. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him as Christ, and we reflect His glory even more and more. And that's the deliberate pathway to Christian growth. I'll never forget the time some years ago when someone who was in the hospital, a visitor, our church, who visited us for 2-3 years, never became a member, went in, went out, and then he was in the hospital. He called the church office specifically for me to go visit him in the hospital. So I gladly went and visited him in the hospital. Went into the hospital, I found out that he was mad. Oh, was he mad? He says, "I am so upset at your church. I've been here for 10 days and no one has come to visit me." I said, "Well, wait a minute. You walk into our church, you walk out, you never say hi to anybody, you don't know anybody by name except me. You have not called us before 10 days. And by osmosis, you think someone's going to come to the hospital to visit you? You called me by name. I came and visited you. So what gives?" And so the point is, making connections is important. There are times when we will want the prayers and the ministry of others. And so we come to our fourth value, the A in Emmanuel, and that stands for authentic acceptance. I'd like to think that Emmanuel is a place where you don't have to be a phony baloney. I would like to think that when you're walking out the door and you're meeting with 2 or 3 people and they say, "Hey, how are you doing?" Then you don't just say, "Well, fine, thank you," when you know you're not. You know you're depressed. You know you got this pain. You know you got this illness. You know something's going on. And you just are honest and transparent and vulnerable with someone else in the church. Authentic, important acceptance is very important. It has to do with honesty, that we don't have to make up stories to people when we're around them. But the second reason why authentic acceptance is very important is that your best ministry is not when everything is going A-okay. Your best ministry is when you're hurting. If someone come up to me and say, "How you doing, Pastor Ed?" "Oh man, I'm so blessed. I've just got everything by the tail. Everything's working fine. All the people I've met in my life, all the ministries I've had, all the wonderful places I've visited," and they think, "Oh, what a goody-goody two-shoes this pastor is." But instead, at the appropriate time, if I might tell you about my failings and my flaws, I tell you how difficult it was after my wife died for being only 2 weeks at a church. I tell you what pain I was in when I had my spinal fusion and my neck fusion that up until about 6 months ago I was under a lot of pain. And I would tell a few people I had pain. It's tough to continue. And then the time when I couldn't speak and you came around me and prayed and God did a miracle and I'm speaking again. When I start telling you about those things in my life, then you say, "Well, Pastor Ed can do it. Maybe I can." How do we develop authentic acceptance? Well, we do it through 2 ways. You do it through relational Bible studies and through spiritual friendships. Relational Bible classes and spiritual friendships. We need to get together with other people. In church, you can't make friends in the way you can in a small group. So with the youth, with us in a Bible class, Women of Grace, men's group, places where you can meet in smaller groups, you can be more transparent, more open, have a chance to share. We're doing this online a lot now. It's very, very important. And then to find somebody, a couple, 3 people that you can confide in. We need to meet together. This is what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 5. It says, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together." It's a habit. It's a habit. You can get out of the habit, and you can get back into the habit. It's a habit of meeting together. "Instead, let us encourage one another all the more." Let's get to the fifth. The N in Emmanuel stands for a fifth value, and that is we are kids and family focused. nurturing kids and family. Emmanuel is known for its youth and children's ministry, all the way back to the time when we had a school, to the time now where we have, and we think about our Sunday school, we think about our youth, and over the last number of years, the youth trips we've taken and national events and all the other things that have happened. And from that now have come people who are up here and helping in ministry in various ways. There are some churches that aren't like that. There are some churches that zero in on college kids. They're town and gown ministries, they're called. And if you're 50 years old and you go into a church like that, you feel totally out of place. And there are other churches that are geared to senior citizens. And if you're 40 and you walk in, you see all the silver and gray hair and you go, whoa, not for me. But that's not us. One of our values is that we want to be a multi-generational church. And we yearn to be that. We want this to be a core value for us. And in our church, we have five generations. We have builders, and we have boomers, and we have busters, and we have millennials, and we have the Gen Z. And I'd like to think that we serve everybody here from Hot Wheels to wheelchairs, all five generations. Now, from the very start, Emmanuel focused on strengthening families. Children are important to us. Jesus says in Matthew 18, be careful, don't make the mistake of thinking that little children are unimportant. I tell you that they have angels who are always with my Father in heaven. We can't do ministry without caring for children. So if you don't have children in your home, if you do not have grandchildren with you, then may I suggest you take a moment, as we are able to now, coming out of COVID, and spend a moment out there and talk for a couple minutes to one of the youth. Talk to one of the youth. Get to know the children of our church and let them know that you're real, even if you have gray hair. That's so important. We need them. We need you to do this because we are kids and family focused. And then number six, here at Emmanuel, we have a sixth value, you, unconditional pathway for healing. We like to call ourselves not a hotel for saints, but what? A hospital for sinners. I'm almost ready to put a sign outside this church that says, if you're perfect, this is not the church for you. Go there. Because we're all healing. We're all under some kind of strain or stress in some way, and that's why New Heart has been so important for us over the years. Because we learn and we know that the greatest life message comes out of our mess. Our message often comes out of our mess. Our testimony comes out of our time of testing. So if you're broken, if you're sad, if you're a bit depressed, if you're disillusioned, then welcome to the club. This is where we get healed. This is where the one who is perfect, where everything is going to be made right again, it's not going to happen in this world, it's going to happen in Christ's kingdom, comes to us. And so we have a saying here at Emmanuel, every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future, and we're all a family of wounded healers, and we belong here together as God's people. That's the you in Emmanuel. And then the seventh one, E, stands for expressive faith. I call that risk-taking. If you're looking for a church that's status quo, that's stuck on tradition, that never is going to go anywhere, this isn't the place for you. This is not a place where you can very easily crawl under a chair and be anonymous, but people are going to come up to you. It's very difficult to walk out of this church without somebody smiling at you or trying to greet you in some way. And so we take risks. And as we take risks, there's always a danger because it's part of the growing process. And where there's no growth, there's not going to be any change. And when there's no change, you can't have change without loss because you have to let go of some things before you grab on to some other things. And so when we make change, there's often pain, can result in distrust. These are all things. A church or person who wants to grow without changing is like a woman who says, I want to have a baby without having my belly get bigger and having labor. There's no growth without change. There's no new life without change. There's no stretching. It means taking risks. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we express that faith by willing to do things. And I'll never forget the first worship service I attended here as pastor after my installation, close to 12 years ago. And I was viewing a handful of strangers, didn't really know them. They had come together to call me at a time when it was not reasonable at their size and with their budget to call a pastor, full-time pastor. The recommendation was to join with another church, pool the money, one pastor, two churches. But this little group, who didn't know how it was going to happen, could already visualize the end. That was God's preferred future. And that is God would rebuild Emmanuel. And they, on that first worship service, I remember them singing, God will make a way when there is no way. I remember Pastor Barnhart, with his jovial spirit, loving that we were having a praise band. Pastor Heidel would come with his succinct sermons, his prophetic insights, and his in-depth word-by-word Bible studies that allowed us to grow so beautifully. All of it was part of a beginning that helped develop the character of this church as a core value having expressive faith. And then finally, we come to the last letter, the L in Emmanuel, and that stands for love in action. I don't want us to be a church that just talks about love, that prays about love, that studies love, that defines love. It's not enough to just say we love people, but we need to put it in action, as the words suggest in our motto, love God, love others, and show it. Here's a great passage on love from John, who was called the Apostle of Love. I know already read it, but we're going to do it again. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his love for us, and we too then ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If we have possessions and see others in need, and yet we close our hearts against them, how can we claim to love God? Our love must not just be words, must not just be words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. You know, I can tell you story after story these last close to 12 years where this congregation has shown love in action. Whether it's the Women of Grace taking their money to help ministries in our community and the welfare of women and other people, whether it's those who went with Thrivent and built homes, whether it's the portable we put out here to give a family the need and housing for a period of time, whether it's we took the money out of our own pockets, unbeknownst to anybody else, and gave it to people in need in this congregation, or whether we as a congregation helped people, or gave food, or provided suggestions for employment, or provide transportation. However it is, we are a church where love is an action, and that's Emmanuel, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. And those are the eight values that make up who we are and distinguish us from the churches around us in some ways. And you can go and see them as you leave the church today, go into the entranceway, look up. Those values are there for us to see every single week. Let's join together in prayer. Please rise. Father, we've been looking this month at why we do church. And as we stop, we say we've done this for years. And now we're launching into a new chapter after COVID. We're getting back going again, and we need to look at our foundation stones. We need to know our purposes. We need to know the values that really tell us who we are. Well, thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can say this is my spiritual home. I pray, Heavenly Father, that those who are online and afraid to venture forth and come to church, that they might soon take the step. I pray for those who have been waffling and wavering and being a spectator at Emmanuel might now become a participatory. Help us to make the move from consumer to contributor, from attender to member, from spectator to participant. Lord, we love every person, everyone who's listening right now and watching and who's here. Thank you for their lives, and I'm asking you to bless every one of our lives. And as a pastor, I pray for their physical health, their spiritual health, their emotional and mental, their relational health, and their finances, and every area of their life. Would you bless them today with health? Not only that they can feel good, but that they can be a blessing now to others. And if there's anyone within the hearing of my voice who's never opened his or her life to Jesus, if you've never done that, just say, Jesus, make yourself real to me. As much as I know, I want you to say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. Change me. Save me. I want to know your purpose for my life. I want to know why I'm here and where I'm going and what I'm to do. I'm sorry for all the things I've done wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. And help each one of us to understand how beautiful the name Emmanuel is, because God is most certainly with us. And all of God's people say,